Good morning, everyone, on this bright, sunshiny day. Notice that changes your submodalities. Yeah, in the areas where they don't get much sunshine and the environment around them often doesn't have a lot of light in it, the incidence of depression are much higher because it affects your submodalities. So if you ever get in that sort of situation, and where I live, when we're having lots of snow and day after day after day of cloudy skies with the snow and everything, I just have to adjust my own internal submodalities to keep myself feeling light and open and whatever. So, yeah. Yes.
What does that mean? Adjust your submodalities?
Okay, so you've been learning how to use submodalities to find out what they are. So if the external is dim, what could I do with my internal images?
Brighten it.
So I imagine a knob and I brighten it up. Yeah, it's just like you would have a rheostat. If I discover I'm feeling overwhelmed by something because I have too big a picture with lots of stuff in it right here in front of me, then I adjust my submodalities by taking that picture and pushing it further away from me so that I have more control over it. It's not right here. The kinesthetics are really interesting to play with as well. So if I'm having a sensation, and I am very careful about ever saying pain, because if you call something pain, then it has certain meanings to it, which we'll be talking about later. So how do you change the meaning of that? If I'm having a certain sensation in my body, I notice, is it, what's the temperature, what's the texture, etc., and I begin changing that to something that I think would be a more pleasant sensation in the body, and I can change my whole experience of it. Who was it that moved their voice down to their toe yesterday was telling us about it? Yeah. That. So again, that's how submodalities are incredibly useful for you. Understanding them yourself, you can change your immediate experience of something. Yeah, which makes it really fun. So, questions hanging on from yesterday about what we did or what you experienced. We did the mapping across, eliciting the submodalities, adding to what we had done the previous weekend. Now, how powerful do you think it is if you, first of all, find out what the internal state is and the physiology for somebody when they're in a resource? And then you take time to gather, and what are some of the major components of your submodalities, the qualities of them, when you're in a resource, so that you can use all of that to map into a situation where you're not getting what you want. So all three together is very, very powerful. The internal state, which is emotion, and the physiology, the way you hold your body, and the way you're thinking, all three together, are really powerful.
I have a question about the time frame.
Yes.
Is that about the right time frame, a half an hour? It seems a little long, but...
You mean to gather that information?
I mean, it wasn't for us, because we're just starting. But yeah, is that a little bit of possibly overthinking it, or you know, I don't know.
It depends on how much ecology comes up as you're doing it. So if anytime you're doing any NLP exercise, it can go just like that, snap. You know they can be really, really fast. Yet, if there are some underlying issues that need to be dealt with as well, it can take much longer. So you never know. And that's why when you're doing a piece of work with somebody, I usually allocate at least an hour so that then if I'm finished in a half hour, I can play around with some other things with the person, and I don't run out of time. But you know, once in a while, some of you were having trouble even finding something to work with. Of course, you wouldn't find that with a client, because a client would come in with an issue. But you can go into a lot of detail, or not so much. You could just say, what are you really, so yeah, right. So if you're gathering, if you want to just get a few major submodalities, you can say, what are you most aware of? What are you most aware of? Well, this feeling I have. And then you might just explore the submodalities of the feeling. So it all depends. There is no cut and dried answers in NLP. Okay.
So what I'm hearing is that is about the right time. Right? Don't be surprised if it takes that long.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Rachel?
So I thought it was interesting that the demonstration you did and the exercise I did dealt with food and body image. And I guess there's two things you could do. One is, like, if the person really wants to go and change that behavior, you help them do that. But on the other hand, you can almost go to the source of it and do some other type of, you know, if you wanted to, what's driving them being feeling guilty about eating that food, you could almost go to the source of it and change the way they think about that at the root, right? So you have a choice, and it really depends, I think, on what the person wants, right?
That's right. Well, it you could be dealing with some beliefs. You could be dealing with some childhood things that were started when they were really young. You know, you never know what you're dealing with. This is mapping across is one way to change the thinking about something. And when you're using the mapping across submodalities, it's just one process in NLP. And people say, well, what do you do under what circumstances? Are you starting to think about that? Of course, this is only the third module. But the more we add to it, you go, when would I use this as opposed to that? And in the final module of the practitioner, Tim and Chris will be dealing with that with you. How do you know when to use something that requires an anchor versus something like this mapping across where you're not using anchoring? And it depends on a number of variables, which, and, you know, as you go along, you'll discover certain things are good for certain NLP processes are good for certain issues that people have and will work better than others. Mapping across is a general technique that will work for almost anything. Okay. Any other things hanging on from yesterday? Okay, so we started up here, didn't we? You saw me do a demonstration of couple anchoring and re-anchoring and how that works, where you actually teach somebody else how to duplicate what's bugging you. We're going to start with that because I said that it'll be nice for you to all be able to do that process, okay? And then we're going to continue on down our list. So today we will be getting into the idea of what creates congruence or incongruence in us, and how do we do this thing called reframing, which is a really common way of thinking about doing things. You've had it done with you before if you've been in any kind of sales situation, and I'll talk about how that works. And show you how we can use this thing called six-step reframing when we're doing a behavior we would like to stop doing. So it's different than what we're doing with this couple reanchoring. Couple reanchoring is useful when you're doing something else is happening outside you that you don't like your response to. So it's completely different than, okay, if this is something inside me that's going on, that's what you use six-step reframing for. So we're going to have fun playing around inside ourselves with the six-step reframe today, learning how to use that. So find your mastermind group, and let's see, all the resource people are here. Yay. So get with your group and set your intent for today. What do you want to get for today? Oh.